We are going to go to the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter. The Gospel of John, the 10th. We're going to be looking at the first 10 verses, 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. I teeter-totter back and forth between which gospel is my favorite gospel. And it really doesn't matter anyway, since they're all God's inspired word. But sometimes I have fun in my head, and I like to pick my favorite one. And John is always a competitor, and sometimes John is my favorite gospel. And I love reading the book of John. And fun fact, as you're finding this in your Bible, this was the second piece of scripture I ever studied for a sermon, was John chapter 10. And so it's got a special place in my heart. The very first sermon I ever preached was John 13, and then John chapter 10. I am the good. We'll be looking at a different part of John 10, the first 10 verses tonight, and the title of it. So if you would, join me in prayer. Father, I pray now that you just take your spirit, speak to our soul. Father, we all will face different things this week because we all have different paths. You've made each and every one of us so unique. Lord, I pray that whatever lies ahead this week, I pray that tonight you take your word and our hearts are receptive to it as your Holy Spirit works, and that you just help us to be shining lights for you in every situation that we may face, in every up and every down. In every good time and every bad time, Lord, I pray that you just speak. Father, we ask that you just open our hearts, help us, equip us, and show us what we need to know to continue to carry out your work. And we will give you all praise and all honor and all glory. And it's in your precious name, the name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10 is where we will be. I'm going to go ahead and dive right into the text tonight, and then we will come back and talk a little bit about the context. We'll talk a little bit about what was going on when 10 takes place. When was Jesus actually teaching this? Because that's important to the context of 10 and what Jesus is saying. So let's go ahead and look at John 10, first 10 verses, and this is what the Word of God records. It says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the shepherd and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly.'" There's so many different references to shepherd in the Bible. It's incredible. It's just a very important role that God equates to so many different things. One being himself. He says, "I am the good shepherd." And then look throughout the Bible at all the people who were shepherds and had that experience. We know one of the most famous, right? David. He was a shepherd. And David, though that was not some profession that was looked upon as some great profession to be a shepherd. And most of the time they were scruffy, nasty smelling. I mean, they've been hanging out with sheep. You know, it's not like these guys smell like the Old Spice man. You know, they stink. But this role, this imagery is important to God. You find it saturated all throughout his word. And we find it here as one of the I am statements that Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And he also gives this reference, I am the gate. Now, John 10:10 is a really famous verse. And it tells us a lot about the intent of the enemy. But it's a highly debated verse, and we're going to get to that, and we're going to unpack that a little bit tonight as well. So there's a lot that we can gain from tonight's passage, and I'm excited to dive in. The setting. Let's talk about the setting of the passage. So in chapter 9, Jesus is dealing with the Pharisees, and he's having some bouncing around with their thoughts and ideas, and so as chapter 10 comes along, there's a continuation of thought. Just because we see a different chapter doesn't necessarily mean that it's a different audience or setting. Now, the timing could be different. 10, 26, and 27 is during Hanukkah. Jesus continues to refer to the sheep and assumes the same audience he had in 10, 1 through 21. The Feast of Tabernacles is referenced in chapter 9. And so we know that the Feast of Tabernacles and Hanukkah are almost 3 months apart. So unless Jesus got really, really long-winded, I mean, see, 50-minute sermons sound really good compared to 3-month sermons, right? So unless Jesus got really, really long-winded, we can assume that these are two separate occasions. However, the Gospel of John gives us the indication that this is the same audience. He's dealing with the same audience because there's a continuation of thought and who he's addressing. So he's talking about the Pharisees. He's talking about these who would use religious practice not for the good of the sheep, but for the good of themselves. And so this is something that Jesus is addressing. So the very first thing that John kind of highlights for us is this principle that sheep need a shepherd. And why do sheep need a shepherd? Sheep need a shepherd. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way. We need a shepherd because a shepherd protects his sheep. He leads his sheep and he guides his sheep, and we are his sheep. And sheep have predators. Sheep have predators. And since sheep can't really defend themselves, since they aren't really good at fighting off wolves, they need a shepherd. They need protection. And so when we think of sheep today, and I'm not a shepherd. I don't know anything about sheep. I couldn't tell you the first thing about keeping sheep because I've never kept sheep. I've dealt with cows a little bit. I've dealt with turkeys a little bit, but I've never kept sheep. So I don't know a whole lot about sheep. But I know that I've seen sheep dogs. You ever seen a sheep dog? Yep. I'm going to tell you a really gross story about a sheepdog that is really not of very much value, but I'm going to share it anyway because it's funny. But there was a dog that some friends of ours had, and it was a sheepdog, and super, super smart. And this sheepdog, there was this guy who was with us, and me and my dad were in this backyard, and we were at a cookout, and we were talking, and there was this sheepdog out there, and we were talking about, he was telling us about how smart they were, and the dogs were really, really smart, and they were known to play tricks on people and all this because they were so intelligent, they could figure all that out. And so Dad and I are throwing this tennis ball, and this tennis ball is just covered in spit, you know, because this dog's been chewing on it. And then Dad's standing there, and I grab the ball, and I throw the ball, and we were having fun with this dog. And then the guy comes up, and Dad and I are watching the dog, and the dog goes up there, and he uses the bathroom on the ball. Well, Mike Wright and Adam Wright's out. We ain't throwing the ball anymore. So this guy comes walking up, and he's like, you guys aren't going to throw the ball. And before we could say anything, he reached down and grabbed the ball and threw it. And me and Dad said, nope, but those dogs are smart. So anyhow, all I know about sheepdogs is that sheepdogs are there to protect the sheep. Because why? Sheep have predators. And sheepdogs guard the sheep. They lead the sheep. They help defend the sheep. They herd the sheep. They guide the sheep. But there's a little different process that sheepdogs follow. They get behind the flock of sheep, and what they do is they kind of drive the sheep. Shepherds, as according to John 10, did not do that. In fact, we know very, very specifically that shepherds did not do that because it says that in the text. What does it say? It says in verse 4 that he has brought out all his own and he goes before them and the sheep follow him. It's a different order. The sheep are not driven, they follow the shepherd. So in our Western world and thinking about sheep, it's very different when we think about sheepdogs and how sheep are gathered together here versus this ancient Middle Eastern world that Jesus lives in. And so that's what I want to unpack a little bit. If we go back in time in our minds and we look at the way the world was then for a shepherd and what a shepherd actually did with sheep, it makes this picture, and I'm not exaggerating at all, church, it makes this picture so beautiful of how God feels about his sheep. It's incredible. So if you would, let's go back in time in the Middle East for just a minute and capture this idea of what the shepherd was to his sheep. The shepherd was very intimately close to his sheep. He spent all of his time with them. They knew his voice. I read in one commentary that some Palestinian shepherds to this day, they can do this demonstration where there can be all this noise going on, cars going down the road, horns honking, people talking, and the shepherd can whistle. And the sheep know that whistle so well that they will come among all of the noise that is there. They still can discern the shepherd's voice, the shepherd's whistle. They know what that means. This is the kind of relationship that Jesus is pressing down on. This is the kind of relationship he is talking about when he talks about his role as a shepherd to his sheep. It's a close, intimate role. And then it also tells us in this scripture that he knows their name. He names the sheep. Isn't that interesting? It's not a foreign concept for us. We name our dogs. I was talking with Miss Frida, Frida Cawthon, at the hospital, and her sister was there, and they had a little dog, and they were telling me their dog's name was Gizmo. And they showed me a picture of him, and he had the little floppy ears with his ears hanging down, and it looked just like a gizmo. So I totally understand that name. And you all have probably named an animal or a pet somewhere, and we know what it's like to name. But when you give something a name, you give it an identity, and it becomes something to you personal, right? Because now you know that animal, that individual. And it's such a deeper relationship when you have a name. And it says the shepherd does that. He bestows a name to his sheep. The sheep know their own name as it is called, just as an animal today when you call an animal by name. They know the shepherd's voice. They know and they listen and they become close to their shepherd. There's this close relationship. This is the picture that Jesus is painting. And so when he says that he's the shepherd, he has this close, intimate relationship with his sheep. And he wants to protect his sheep, and he wants to give his sheep safety. And so one of the things that would happen in this time and in this day is there was something called a sheep pen that local shepherds would use. And again, it's different than we do things today, or even maybe that are done in our cultures from the past. And so what we have to think about is that this is a Middle Eastern worldview in ancient Middle East, and so they had a different way of doing things. And they had this thing that was a sheep pen. And this sheep pen was a large gathering area for multiple flocks of sheep. It wasn't just for one shepherd. So when we think of a sheep pen or a pasture, we think of like our animals in our pasture. But this was like a universal pasture. And so the sheep and the shepherds would bring their flocks in the night into these sheep pens, wherever they may be, along the way after they had been grazing. And they would bring them into the sheep pen because at night, predators would come. Thieves would come. And they would steal sheep, they would attack sheep, they would do whatever they wanted to the sheep that were exposed in the night. And so what they had to have was safety. And so they would bring these shepherds into this sheep pen. And then around the top of the sheep pen was typically like vines or thorns or something of this nature to keep predators out and to keep people from climbing over and getting into the sheep. And so they would have this around the top of the sheep pen. And so when Jesus is giving this imagery of a gate, and he's given this imagery of a sheep pen, he's talking about this specific situation, and he's talking about how shepherds would gather together and all the sheep would come in and they would be in this sheep pen. But the only way to get inside of the sheep pen was through a very small gate. And that very small gate was guarded by the shepherd. The shepherd watched which sheep came in and which sheep went out. And you didn't get in unless you dealt with the shepherd. And so Jesus says that he is that gate. He's that gate that determines who is coming in and who is going out. And if anything comes in the sheep pen and doesn't go through the gate, it doesn't belong in the pen. Now, you can kind of get an idea of where Jesus is going with this whole thing, and what the picture is, the beautiful picture that's being painted here, is that that's us, right? We're the sheep. And what God does is he determines his own sheep for his own pasture, those who know him. And there's something interesting about it, too. All the other shepherds would come, and you say, well, if they all the sheep went into the same pasture, how do they know how to get out? Wouldn't that be kind of crazy? What do they do? Do they paint them? Do they put number 1, 2, and 3? Well, sheeps 1 through 10 are yours. And, you know, how do they do that? Well, here's more to the beautiful picture that Jesus is painting. They knew the shepherd's voice. So when their shepherd would come to call them out of their pen, he would start speaking, and the sheep that belonged to that shepherd would come forward. And the other sheep would remain because they didn't know that shepherd. They knew their shepherd. Isn't that a beautiful picture of who God is and how God works? God wants us to know his voice, to distinguish his voice above all the noise of the world, above all the false shepherds in the world. He wants us to know him on such an intimate level that we have this relationship, that we know when to follow and when to stay, that we know when it is safe and when it is not. And so for the application for tonight, I want to give you just a few things that the gate tells us and what this whole story is really all about. And the gate gives us a few things to note. First of all, the gate is a warning. The gate is a warning. There are thieves out there. You don't put a gate up unless you're trying to do what? I did this just for you guys tonight. You don't put a gate up unless you're trying to do what? Keep something in or keep something out. That's the purpose in a gate. And that's a famous gate right there, right? So it provides an exit and an entrance. It's a regulation of what's going in and what's going out. It's a protection. Psalm 118 20. I love this. This is not, Jesus is referring back to something that God our Father said in the Old Testament as well. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. This gate is there to regulate what comes in, what goes out, and you put a gate up to protect what is inside or to prevent something from the outside getting in. That's why the gate's there. So it's a warning. The gate is a warning. There are thieves out there. There are people out there that do not intend for the sheep's good. It's a warning. Now, Jesus in John 10:10, I believe, is addressing two things. And I've heard people, especially, there's major debate among pastors. Is he talking about the devil? People quote John 10:10, and they say, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, the thief isn't, in this context, isn't really talking about the devil. So they're taking it out of context, yes and no. I don't think it's misquoting that to say that he's talking about the devil at all. Because who do you think motivates corrupt religion? The devil. Who do you think had pulled the veil, the blindness over the Pharisees' eyes that would make them so viciously attack Jesus, that would make them do the horrible, wicked deeds that they were doing towards Jesus? Who motivates that? The enemy, the evil one. So no, it's not out of context to say that John 10:10 refers to the devil, but specifically he's talking about those that are not of his fold, those that don't belong in the sheep pen, those that don't know the shepherd. There is real evil in the world. So the first thing that we should take away from the sheep pen is this is a warning. We should be warned by this. I was watching a little bit of the news earlier today, and I saw the situation in Haiti. And if you've seen anything on the news lately about Haiti, it's controlled by gangs, and horrible violence is going on, and people are literally being killed in the streets, and people are being eaten. Cannibalistic nature it's horrible. Some of the things going on. Evil is in the world. And when you pull God out and you don't want anything to do with God, then you have to deal with the evil. And so this is a warning that when you're outside of the protection of the hand of an almighty God, when you get outside of that sheep pen, when you get outside of that protection that the almighty God gives us, then we have to be careful because we're going to deal with the predators and the thieves and those that would cause harm and hurt. You have to be careful. So first of all, the sheep gate is a warning. He's a gate for a reason, to keep things out, keep things in. It's protection. It's protection and it's direction. The sheep that are listening to the shepherd's voice find the gate. They would go to this gate at nightfall, and so they had to follow the shepherd. Remember, the shepherd's going in front of them. And so the sheep are just out there grazing. And the shepherd occasionally calls to the sheep because the sheep need to gravitate towards him so that they go into the sheep pen. Because if they stay out there grazing and they get caught up in what they're eating and not in where the shepherd's leading, guess what happens? Nightfall comes and they're not protected. So the message to us and the application to us is sometimes the same thing can happen. We get caught up in what we're doing in the world, and the shepherd is leading us in a different direction. And if we don't pay attention to the shepherd's voice and follow the shepherd's voice, we find ourselves in trouble because the enemy is waiting for you to get farther from the shepherd. The enemy is waiting for an opportunity to attack the sheep. The predator is looking for a gap between the shepherd and the sheep. And so the shepherd's voice is direction. The sheep pen is where the shepherd wants us to be. The imagery of the sheep pen, I believe, is heaven. I believe that that's where God is leading us. He's leading us there, but he takes us through this journey. And so we see this image depicted in the scripture, but we also know that there's a direction leading us there. And so this is what the shepherd intends for his sheep. So how do we make that practical? How do we listen to the shepherd's voice? Well, we read the Bible with a hungry heart. We got to stay hungry for the Word of God. We read the Bible with a hungry heart. We look at His Word and we say, man, I need God's Word today. We get a hunger for His Word. We say, I need you to speak to me today. Because when we read the Bible, you'll hear the shepherd's voice, period. How do we know that? Because Scripture, all Scripture is written by God, and it is what, church? Profitable. So when we read the Bible, we hear the shepherd's voice. Read the Bible with a hungry heart. Cherish it. And then let our decisions in life be filtered through the Word of God. If we're making a decision about something that the Word of God tells us we should not do, then we need to step back and really figure out why it is we feel like we should do it. We have to let every decision in life be filtered through the Word of God. This is how we find the direction of the shepherd. So we heed his warning. We know that there is a gate for a reason to keep the enemy out. We seek his direction. And then finally, there's goodness. There's goodness in listening to the shepherd. This is an amazing, wonderful piece of scripture that we've been given here in John 10:10. Remember the first part I said is somewhat controversial about who that thief is. Is it the devil or is it somebody else? And is it the devil or is it the Pharisee or who's it referring to? And I think the answer is both. But the latter part of that is so encouraging. Listen to the latter part of that verse. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what the thief is trying to get in the sheep pen to do. That's what the thief is trying to do to the sheep. But look at the second part. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. That is a beautiful piece of scripture. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Following that, he says, I am the good shepherd. The word in the Greek used here literally means this, that which goes beyond necessity. I want to read that again because that's so important. The word that is used here in the Greek, when we read this word abundantly in the English, the word that is used is perisson, which means that which goes beyond necessity. John wanted all his readers to know that the gift of Jesus is life beyond our wildest dreams. The gift of Jesus. One thing that I've come to know about walking with Jesus Christ and trusting in the Good Shepherd is there is no greener pasture. The grass is not greener somewhere else. When we're following the Good Shepherd, we're dwelling in the green pasture. It doesn't get any better than following Jesus. And this idea that following Jesus is filled with gloom and doom and horror, and you just kind of eke your way through life and hope that through all the misery that you endure when you get to the end of life, then you inherit heaven. That's not biblical. I'm not saying that life in following Jesus is all about winning lotteries and becoming billionaires and driving Bentleys and all that. I'm not saying that at all, but what I am saying is that following Jesus has suffering, but it has blessing. Following Jesus is an abundant life. This is the teaching of Jesus Christ. And following Him has good things. And I sometimes will hear Bible preachers that are really good teachers, but they get on this topic of just living in misery, and that is not what Jesus intends for His followers. He wants us to have joy in our hearts. He wants us to have an abundant life in Him. That's not in the materialism. That's in a joy in Christ. And so one of the final things that we can take away from this sheep gate, the reason the shepherd wants to protect his sheep is he wants them to come in and be protected so that he can give them a life that is better than that outside of the sheep pen where the thieves and the predators are. He intends to protect his sheep. He intends to love his sheep. So, what is the gate? It's a warning. There's some bad things out there. It's direction. Listen to his voice as he's leading you where he wants you to be. And goodness. God has goodness for his sheep. So, as we go into this week, I want to encourage you to think that Jesus is the gate. He is the gate. There's really no way to find true joy without going through Jesus. There's really no way to find true life without going through Jesus. It's all about Jesus. But we have to know His voice and follow His steps. Remember, the shepherd leads from the front. He's not driving the sheep. The sheep are following his voice. So we have to tune our ears to hear where he is leading and to follow his steps wherever they may go. So this week, I want to challenge your heart to listen to the voice of the shepherd. Above all the noise, above all the roars of life in the world, listen to the voice of the shepherd. Walk where he may lead. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father in heaven, I pray God, that you just lead our hearts this week. Father, that we would be in tune with you and that our minds would focus on your voice above it all. There's so many things in the world to distract. And Father, just like sheep, we go astray. But Lord, we know that you are our good shepherd. You are the gate. Through you, we find hope. Through you, we find peace. Through you, we find joy. So, Father, I pray that you would help each and every one of us to tune our hearts to hear your voice, to tune our thoughts to your word, and that we would guide our steps to follow you. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you do. It's in your precious name. Amen.
Please stand as we sing Without Him.
For being here tonight on another beautiful Sunday. I hope you have a wonderful week. And remember, tune your ear to the shepherd. He's always speaking to us. He's always leading and guiding us. Mr. Ronnie Baker, would you close us in prayer?